living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
All right, I'm back here with Dr. Steven Sinatra. He's co-author of The Cholesterol Myth and, of course, many, many other books. And if you want to check out Dr. Sinatra, what he's about, all that he's done, his impressive credentials, the books, it's all there at Dr. Sinatra. That's drsinatra.com. We were talking about triglycerides and the HDL ratio, and Dr. Sinatra, you said something interesting. You said that's very, the higher that ratio, right, meaning the triglycerides are higher, is very inflammatory. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at our society and all the sugar we're taking in the diet and all the weight gain we have. When people gain weight and they have a lot of fat cells, particularly around the viscera, the inflammatory cytokines or the inflammatory chemicals can live in those fat cells. And these actually drives inflammation. And if we look at the decrease in exercise, the increase in sugars and carbohydrates in our diets, and with, especially with this high carbohydrate craze that people have, it's generating what we call metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance. And what happens here is that hemoglobin A1Cs, which is sort of a long-term effect of blood sugar in the body, tend to go up. Triglycerides go up and HDLs go down. And when we see hemoglobin A1C over 6 with triglycerides, inching over 200-300 and HDLs coming down, this is a very inflammatory situation. And I got to tell you, one of the worst situations I've ever seen, and I couldn't believe the statistic when I saw it, was if there was an overweight woman who had insulin resistance and had triglycerides of over 300, her incidence of coronary disease was 200 times. I couldn't believe the statistic, Mike, but it came out 200 times greater than her counterpart that was normal weight, normal triglycerides, normal HDL. That blew me away. And what we really got to look at is when anybody gains weight, particularly if a woman or a male has a lot of visceral fat, like if a male's waist is 40 inches, a woman's waist is 36 inches, and her blood pressure tends to go up a little bit, and she has or he has high triglycerides, low HDL, this is a significant marker of inflammation. And remember, it's inflammation that is really the crux of coronary disease, not fat.
Right, and that's being driven a lot by the high sugar content because people don't realize those sugars can convert into those triglycerides. As a matter of fact, if a patient comes to me and they tell me, Dr. Sinatra, that they've avoided all sugars yet their triglycerides are still high, I probably know they're not telling me the whole truth. It's a little secret we have, right?
Well, they're drinking a lot of alcohol or beer or something. Wine. Right. Something's going on.
Something's driving it, right? Yeah.
Right.
So, interesting, on your website, you are considered really a natural cardiologist. And what does that really mean, a natural cardiologist?
Well, I mean, I'm a conventionally trained cardiologist. I mean, I did all the training. I did cardiac catheterizations for 10 years. I'm board certified in my specialties. But I got certified in clinical nutrition from the American College of Nutrition. I basically studied 10 years of psychotherapy. I became a bioenergetic psychotherapist. I'm involved in anti-aging medicine. I've been using coenzyme Q10 for 30 years. I've written loads of papers on it. I've done lots of research in the human, the animal, even the mouse and the equine model. So, I mean, CoQ10 has been one of my biggest, discoveries. And my discovery of metabolic cardiology has probably been the most significant factor in my lifetime. Because metabolic cardiology is really a situation where you're driving ATP in a preferential direction. And you're not only healing heart cells, but you're really rejuvenating and reviving all the cells of the body. Because ATP is really important in repair.
So CoQ10 obviously is an important supplement within that, but there's a few more that you, I think, promote, in this metabolic cardiology, right? There's CoQ10. What are some of the other ones you like to suggest?
There's magnesium, which, doctors have used for years. There's certainly the carnitine. I mean, L-carnitine helps to transport free fatty acids in the mitochondria. We call it the beta oxidation of fats. And more importantly, the fats are not only burned in the mitochondria, but the carnitines help to transport them out, so it makes it more efficient. And then D-ribose is really important because it forms the center It's a ribose sugar. It's a five-sided pentose sugar that forms the center of the ATP molecule. So when you take all four of those nutrients in combination, you're really driving ATP in a direction that makes sense, and people get energy. And once you improve ATP in the body, you're actually improving qi energy in the body. And once you do that, you take the body to a higher level of healing.
And there's studies that support this. I mean, there's some studies looking at heart failure patients, CoQ10, carnitine, CoQ10 and D-ribose combination, and they're showing some you know, pretty impressive results.
So it's incredible.
That this translates clinically, right? I mean, this is
good stuff. Even chronic fatigue syndrome. I mean,
do you use these supplements mainly in a preventative type picture,
or is this part of
your treatment program?
Right. I use them preventively. I use them in higher blood pressure. Certainly in any forms of angina, any forms of cardiac arrhythmias. The best utility is cardiomyopathy and heart failure. I mean, I have kept more people off the heart transplant list in my 40 years of practice, especially after my 30 years when I started using CoQ10. So it's almost a miracle drug when it comes to heart failure and cardiomyopathy.
Do you use, to go back to the whole cholesterol, you know, the LDL cholesterol aspect of this, the statins, are there some cases where you do prescribe statins? Is there a certain level
sure.
you might be like, okay, you need something?
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal on statins. I mean, any male under the age of 75 with documented coronary heart disease, I would use a statin. And I would certainly give 100 to 200 milligrams of CoQ10 at the same time, because remember, statins not only kill cholesterol, they knock CoQ10 out of the same biochemical pathways. But I don't give statins usually to women. I mean, 99% of women, 98% of women, even with advanced coronary disease, I don't give statins. Certainly the elderly over 75, I don't give statins. And very, very rarely to children. Now, occasionally, I'll give statins to patients with familial hypercholesterolemia. These are people with a genetic disorder. It's 1 in 500 autosomal dominant. Those people, I will really screen them vigorously. And in some cases, if they're high risk, I'll put them on a statin, even though they don't have coronary disease, because they're running cholesterols of, you know, usually 3 to 500, even higher. And in those patients, if they do have small particles and a lot of particles, I would like to treat them prophylactically with some statin medication.
And what do you say to, because I hear this a lot, what do you say to the patient who says to you, well, do I have to be on the statin the rest of my life? Because I know that's, you know, because some people are. I mean, some doctors just put them on that statin, that's it. They don't really, there's not much else they
well,
do.
Well,
how do
men
you answer
with coronary,
that?
Yeah, good question. For men with coronary disease, I do. But remember, Mike, I'm not using the statin to treat cholesterol. I am using the statin because of other properties. I mean, what statins really do is they thin the blood, and they're potent antioxidants, and they're anti-inflammatories. So
yeah,
I use statins for that reason. And if you look at the West of Scotland study, I don't know if you remember that early statin study that was done in Scotland many years ago, over a couple of decades. Mm-hmm. These were smoking men. And these smoking men also had low HDLs. And statins made a difference in these men. And it made sense, because the reason why a male with a low HDL is so prone to coronary heart disease is because HDL not only supports the immune system, but when it's very low, your blood becomes like red ketchup instead of red wine.
Yeah.
So HDL is one of the major factors in blood viscosity and in our immune system. So it made sense that, even the researchers in that study, they commented years ago, over 20 years ago, stating that it wasn't the cholesterol alterations that they thought with statins was working. It was on blood rheology, which means basically
right,
the shape
okay.
of red blood cells and the blood viscosity. So statins work in many different other areas, but drug companies can't sell that. What they can sell is cholesterol, and that's the myth.
And that's the myth. Yeah, that's it.
That's the great cholesterol myth.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mike, my other website, heartmdinstitute.com, is a non-commercial site. DrSinatra.com has a lot of information on it, but it's sort of a commercial site. So I just wanted to make that, you know, distinction.
Well, I'm going to encourage my listeners to go check it out. Dr. Sinatra, thank you for all that you've done. You've been an inspiration for many of us who are young in this industry. So thanks for coming on. This is Healthy Talk on RadioMD.com. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.